KBTC, a viewer-supported community service of Bates Technical College.
From KBTC Public Television Studios in Tacoma, Washington, it's the Northwest Now podcast. Each week, we take a closer look at the people and issues that affect all of us here in Western Washington. So sit back, relax, and join the conversation with your host, Tom Lason.
Some view Arthur West as a litigious thorn in the side of state and local governments. Others see him as one of the most influential and effective open government activists in our state's history. It's a bit of a Rorschach test, and the actual answer is that he's both a pain to those who promote secrecy and an activist who has effected massive change and at least slowed down the decline of government transparency. Arthur West is next on Northwest Now. Open government has been a big piece of the programming we've done here on Northwest Now, and that's for a very specific reason. America only works because we've built a high-trust society, and transparency is the key to that. Back in 1972, Washington's voters passed one of the strongest open government laws in the U.S., but the Public Records Act and the Open Public Meetings Act are under attack, and they have been for a long time. That's why one of my goals for doing an annual program over the past 14 years was to do something very public-facing to educate people about their rights and this state's values when it comes to open government. Arthur West has been at the point of the spear on this issue for years, going to court, battling cities, counties, the state, and small taxing districts with more than a dozen published court opinions that are now part of a body of citations dealing with open government-related case law. Arthur West, thanks so much for coming to Northwest Now. As I hope you know, we do a program every year on open government and government transparency here on this program. And this year, instead of just Sunshine Week, we're doing Sunshine Month, of which you're a part of in one of the programs that we're doing, because I think it's so important that the people of the state understand who, in my humble opinion, the person is who has been one of the primary drivers of case law and advocating for open government, and not only the letter of the law, but also the spirit of the law when it comes to the OPMA and the PRA here in the state of Washington. So with that preamble out of the way, I want to start a little bit with your bio. Tell folks who you are. You've lived all over the world. Where did you grow up, and give me your backstory a little bit.
Well, I grew up in Madison, Wisconsin, during the 60s and early 70s, and you know, there were rather interesting times there. I remember going to seeing riots and tear gas, and my dad worked at the university, and so some of his colleagues were we were wondering if they were injured during some of the bombings, but yeah, I met got to hang out with some of the SDS people there. After that, I moved around quite a bit. We were in Japan for a little while. We were in Würzburg, Santa Cruz. I lived in for some time, Escondido. So we moved around a lot.
How did you find your way to Olympia?
I originally wanted to go to college here.
Okay.
So I attended Evergreen for a number of years.
This may be a bit of a reach, but I still want to ask the question. Did your experience at all in living around the country and in living in other countries at all inform your career path?
Well, I think it's important that people see how people live around the world, because you're just in one place, you get like stuck in a certain, you know, worldview, and things are radically different. Even Eastern Washington's radically different, you know. Some people, you know, it's like in the Middle Ages. They haven't gone 50 miles from where they were born. I think it's very important to you know, see other cultures.
So as you aged and got into a career field, what got you dialed in on and settled on open government, government transparency? Why this area?
Well, originally I was interested in how the legal system functioned. I did some environmental cases. There's, you know, we could drive around Olympia and show the various developments that we killed when I was doing that with some of my friends there. There's a big case, Rolling Fields, that we did. But then I realized that the environmental laws weren't any good if you couldn't get the information. And then environmental law is very difficult. I mean, you have files are feet thick and very difficult to win, and they keep making it more difficult all the time. So then I, you know, started filing records requests for environmental cases, and then I realized, well, the disclosure of records is where it's at. Okay, it's more important than the rest of it, and the environmental laws are actually disclosure laws at their very base. So
they rest on the disclosure.
Yes. Law,
the environmental laws rest on those disclosure laws.
Well, and they are disclosure laws.
Yeah.
They require an environmental impact statement, and that's a disclosure process. So I realized how important that was. I also ran into things, you know, concrete things in the world that could be resolved or figured out by filing records requests. Evergreen had a police force that was based on the Gary Edwards Posse Comitatus at one point that I researched. And at that point, Gary Edwards was like the nemesis. But lately, getting older, I realized Gary Edwards was one of the only county commissioners with any common sense.
And Posse Comitatus being the idea that the county was the ultimate authority over civil society.
Yes, and that he could deputize a police force.
Right.
And that's what Evergreen was prior to 1992. I sued them and the Criminal Justice Training Commission for the 440 hours of basic academy training based on the records I'd received, and won. That was the first case I ever won.
In the interest of transparency and disclosure, all the lawsuits, and we'll talk about some of them, but I mean, you have been just a tremendous volume of litigation, most of which I would say, or at least a lot of which has been focused again on transparency and open government. A lot of awards and money has come along with that. So I want you to be able to address your critics, and I'm sure you've heard this criticism. He's just a troublemaker. He's a profiteer. Yeah. He's a gadfly. He's out to do this for a profit. Yeah. When people hit you with that, what do you say?
Well, we live in a class-based society. People try to deny that, and most of that isn't that people make money. It's that I, not being a lawyer, make money. In virtually no case I've ever been in have I made more than the lawyers fighting me. And when I started out, the lawyers would make more in the morning in one appearance than I would make all month long. We are, human beings are incentive-based. If you want people to do things, there needs to be an incentive. The Public Records Act has that. But, I mean, these cases sometimes take 5 or 7 years.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard. You run into a lot of opposition. Writing an appeal, and I couldn't find any attorney. I mean, it's not a windfall. I could not find attorneys to represent me in these cases because the prospect of winning is not there, and you have to fight so hard and so long that lawyers will not take these cases on contingency, which means you have to, and I don't get paid unless I win. The people I fight against, they get paid $500 an hour, win, lose, or draw.
Two things can be true at the same time, right? You can make a few bucks and also do some good. I mean, you can do well by doing good, right?
I don't see those as mutually exclusive, and I tell people, you can play the Blue Avenger and fly through the skies, righting wrongs, but eventually you got to get a paycheck.
Got to go to Costco.
Yeah. and yes, on occasion I made some very good money off of it, but none of those cases were easy. None of those cases were immediate. I had to go on appeal, and it took several years. I mean,
here's another point I'd make, too, is when people complain and say, oh, that darn Arthur West, making all that trouble and filing these lawsuits and hitting us for public disclosure and public records, there's an easy solution for this, no?
Yes, they could just give out the records. I would not have a job if they didn't hide stuff. And there's a lot of progress has been made due to the records requests that I've done. The discovery of dioxin in Bud Inlet came from a records request to the Port of Olympia from myself and one of my friends in 7 years of litigation. Caucus, one of the earliest cases I was involved in was the caucus campaign scandal of the early 90s, and that's when Randy Tate and the Republicans were using the caucuses to run a tax initiative. I think it was I-602. And that was before they outsourced all of that to Tim Iman, but I believe he was involved in the I-602. There was a whistleblower who made a complaint. The PDC did an investigation. Tom Mortensen, I think it was, one of the Republican staff members, got an injunction prohibiting disclosure of the PDC investigation, and we had to go up. I think it ended up in the Supreme Court, but the depositions of all of the various involved legislators finally came out and were transcribed by campaigning ended after that. So that was a
major change.
Yes, that was a big case.
Yeah.
In 94, I got involved with the DuPont Intel Weyerhaeuser project. And that was a project where, in DuPont, where Intel wanted to build a chip manufacturing plant. And they were advancing that through a very stealthy process of just, they said they were building a building for research and development and and I didn't even know until years later when someone told me, but in that one, I filed an environmental suit and then joined with the farmer, Ken Braggett, who owned the Delta before he gave it away.
The big picture here is that these deals are being cut in the back room.
Yes.
And you don't know what's happening until a final action comes on an agenda.
Yes.
And it's like, what are you talking about? That is, in principle, a lot of that is what you have been fighting against.
Yeah, I mean, people try to say that I, take easy cases, but if you look, I go against some of the hardest, most fortified defendants, the people who are actually trying to hide records that mean something.
Big government, big cities,
yes.
Big corporations.
Yes, I don't. Yeah. I'm not, going after small school districts for technical violations.
Right, right. I've always wondered this too, and set me straight on this. Do you follow news reports and get an idea about where PRA violations may be taking place, and then follow up and test a request, or do you just send out 10? Figure 5 are going to come back unfulfilled and incorrect. It's such a target-rich environment, you can do it that way. How do you go about making these selections and finding your targets?
Well, actually, it's gotten a lot better. Since I first started, agencies take the Public Records Act a lot more seriously. Like I was filing requests far long before it was popular, or fashionable to do so. And yes, it's developed a lot. It's taken more seriously now. You can sometimes win in the trial court, occasionally. People tell me, a lot of times people will contact me and tell me what's going on in their little area. Sometimes I'll read things on the news. Sometimes I'll send out, if there's a certain thing that looks suspicious, I'll send out, a few dozen requests or half a dozen to different cities or people involved in things.
Do you do it with another name or through another person? Because if somebody sees a request now from Arthur West, they're dang near, believe you me, they're going to fulfill it.
Well, you might be surprised.
Okay.
A lot of times, the thing is, if you're not doing anything wrong, there's no reason to hide anything. And a lot of what happens is they're doing something wrong. They got something to hide. But that's a very small minority of agencies. No one hears about the agencies that have conscientious records officers who fulfill requests on time. And that is 9 out of 10 requests.
You just answered my question. Do you think non-responsive non-law-following people in public records offices in cities, counties, state, all around are the exception or the rule?
It's the exception now. I mean, we've had mandatory training. There's a training agency. There's the Attorney General's Ombudsman provides training and guidance. And so it's gotten a lot better. I mean, 30 years ago, they were violating it right, left, and center, and it was almost impossible to get any enforcement.
You talked about the training. A lot of that runs through the state associations of cities and counties. And they have a record of resisting, to some degree, public records requests. Ultimately, in your view, do the associations of cities and counties in the state help or hinder transparency?
Well, it's changed some. When I first, I don't know, over 20 years ago, when I first started going to the legislature and lobbying with Roland Thompson, we were often referred to as the usual suspect to testify in every Public Records Act bill for, I mean, you know, decades. I noticed the Association of Cities, the Association of Counties, and the Port District Association were behind a lot of the bills trying to gut the Public Records Act. And I think I referred to them back 20 years ago as the unholy trinity and the minions of darkness. And then
tell us how you really feel, right?
Yeah. That's and then I had a period in 2010 when I sued those agencies to make them subject to the Public Records Act, which they strenuously resisted. In fact, when my process server and I went to the Association of Cities, the chairman of it said, you know, who is this Arthur West? If he's not indigent now, he's going to be, we're a multi-million dollar corporation who can bowl over ordinary citizens like him. And my friend goes, shh, you're just encouraging him.
Yeah.
So that was my experience with those people. And it's gotten better, but virtually every year they're behind a bill to gut the Public Records Act, and now they try to say that they really support it, but it's just these few people abusing it, and we just need to modernize it. I think this year's bill was to provide a commission to modernize it.
Was it a wolf in sheep's clothing? Was it?
They're all wolf in sheep's clothing. They're all the same, and we even made some terms about, Munchausen syndrome and the Rammerhausen munch mania by proxy. I think it would go from, you know, Rammer mania to Munchausen syndrome. Like, Munchausen syndrome is you
injure your child so you get attention.
Yes, and so these cities and counties associations would put four cities who they believed had been injured by the Public Records Act to get attention, to gut the act.
And stand them up as the reason
for
this modernization, for these vexatious requesters like the Arthur Wests of the world.
Yes.
You need to get on the right side of this, and let's modernize the act. Well, the act's pretty explicit.
Yes, and, you know, it was voted in by a large majority of people.
Yep.
And it works. The thing is, the reason they don't like it is that they have to follow the act. They have to disclose records, and if they don't, there are penalties.
Yep.
And that's something that they just can't. And occasionally, an ordinary citizen, if they're very diligent, can get over on City Hall. That's something that these people just do not understand and don't like. But a lot of it isn't that. A lot of the opposition doesn't come, I think, from the fact that, you know, someone is making money. It's that someone who isn't part of the establishment is making money.
Yeah.
And not being an attorney, not being an employee of a public agency, they go, well, how come this person, you know, it's not.
So let me hit you with this. You talked about training. You've talked about the Association of Cities and Counties. Now here comes Nick Brown, the new Attorney General, opens up a Public Records and Transparency office shop within the AG's office, appoints Morgan Damereau to be the Chief Transparency Counsel. Do you see this as another case of Fox guarding the hen house, where the objectives are to kind of cover government's behinds a little bit? Or no, are you optimistic that there's a true effort here to encourage transparency, to train correctly, and to remedy some of the things you've been so active in years past in the courts to do?
Well, I like Nick Brown, and again, I've seen him for years. He was part of the Sunshine Commission back when Pam Roach was on it, back 20 years ago. I think he's trying to do as best he can in, okay. in the context of that. My main concern with Mick Brown is his connections to the Pacific Law Group, who has some rather unorthodox practices. They represented Burien in a case where they had a press conference. A quorum of the council was there. They talked about, enforcement, law enforcement, about their draconian homelessness policy, core municipal thing. I mean, obviously arguably within the Open Public Meetings Act. So his connection to Pacifica Law Group concerns me, but I haven't seen anything about what he's doing that shows that it's in bad faith. I think he's actually trying to, Morgan Damrow's a pretty honorable attorney. I think they're actually trying to fix things, and, they certainly need to, because the Attorney General's search procedures need a little revamping.
I've struggled for years with this.
Yeah.
Why do you think, where does the propensity for secrecy come from? It seems to me that being transparent would be so much easier in some ways. What's the genesis of this?
Well, some of it is an attitude. I mean, certain public officers don't have respect for the people they govern. It's like Machiavelli says, the armed man despises the unarmed man. Some public officials despise the people who are beneath them because, they have no power. And, your average person in our society is disempowered. They only own as much as the government lets them keep. And, if they're dragged into court, they're terrified. Their cities tell them whether they can build. They have virtually unchecked power over building permits. The kids go to school. They don't have any power over that. So I think a lot of it is just the attitude that, we are in power and you shouldn't question us.
That's legislative privilege in a nutshell, right?
Yes, and that one just got decided today, unfortunately. But I think the decision was fairly well balanced, and one of the judges ruled or held that the Constitution, its plain language, does not provide the privilege. Of course, they hung their hat on executive or the separation of powers, but I differ, and we'll see what the Supreme Court says.
So that's going to heading to the Supreme legislative privilege is heading to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a companion case as well, and either way, it would have gone to the Supreme. If they'd have lost, they'd have appealed.
Last couple of minutes here. What is your message to the people of Washington? It seems like people maybe need to dig in a little bit on this. What do you recommend? How can average people get involved? They're not going to go to the extent you have with, dozens of court cases under your belt. What can average folks do?
Well, the real problem is agencies and a lot of it cities and counties withholding records because they're doing something wrong. I mean, some do it just from the attitude, but some of them are actually doing bad acts or not granting you rights or not issuing you a permit properly. And that's where, citizens need to learn how to file records requests, very politely file requests, get the information that, if a city or a county is doing things that you think are questionable, file a detailed public records request to see what the communications are, what the policies are behind that, and at least then you'll know what's going on. And in some cases, again, in a very small minority of cases, they're hiding things because they're doing something illegal or they're hiding money or they're...
In our last 60 seconds here, when you take this and put it all in the bucket and come out with something at the end, are you generally optimistic or pessimistic about the state and nature of government transparency going forward?
Well, there are problems, including like the automatic exemption if you delete records, but it's gotten better. Over the last 25 years, we've made amazing progress.
Okay.
90% of the agencies I deal with take the Public Records Act seriously and get records out as quickly as possible.
Okay.
So it's, I see things improving. I see the Attorney General's initiative as a positive step. I see the power of the, you know, forces of darkness like the cities and counties waning over time. And, you know, we live in a, you know, open society, and I think it's getting a lot better. From it's certainly much better than it was 25 years ago.
Well, I have to tell you, we closed the show with me feeling a lot better about it than I thought I was going to after hearing from you. Arthur, thanks so much for coming into Northwest Now. And again, I wanted the people of the state of Washington to know who you are a little bit and the instrumental role you've played in promoting transparency here in the state. Thank you.
Well, thank you. You have a good day.
So, is Arthur West a profiteer and a gadfly, or an advocate doing important work that benefits the people of Washington and advances the cause of government transparency? The bottom line, my answer is yes. Despite the complaints, I think the people of Washington need him, at least until the highest ideals of the Public Disclosure Act of 1972 are routinely and consistently achieved. My thanks to Arthur West for coming to Northwest Now.